I'm going to let you into a secret. I talk to myself. Well, I like to think of it not so much as talking to myself as thinking out loud. Oh, by the way, good morning. Good morning to you on watching online as well. Good morning to you. I'm just thinking out loud. I've been thinking about a question. What has Jesus got to do with Christmas? What has Jesus got to do with Christmas? Do you know, I can't get my head around this question. With all due respect to Pastor Robin, it's just such a stupid question. I mean, Christmas, Christmas, Jesus Christmas. There's a clue there. It's not Ben Mass. It's not Dorothy Mass. It's not even Robin Mass. It's Christmas. Oh, do you know there's something a bit peculiar about asking obvious questions? I mean, if I were to say to you, why are you breathing? I don't suppose there'd be many of you who'd start talking to me about internal spasm responses and vacuums inside you. You'd be thinking, he's weird. Or you'd be thinking, you say that to me again, I'll give you a slap around the head. I mean, obvious questions are a bit silly, really. But then I'm just thinking about something else now. Yeah. Well, maybe things that are obvious to me aren't necessarily obvious to everyone. Yeah, I've been talking about hearing and seeing. That's hearing what God is saying and seeing what he's doing. And yeah, we've been talking about some people don't see and hear. No. So, I'm going to take it back. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to say, yeah, perhaps it's not such a silly question. Okay. So, if it's not such a silly question, I've got to sort of come up with an answer. So, what am I going to say to this question? Oh. A few verses spring to mind. A few Old Testament verses spring to mind. There's that one from Genesis 49, verse 10. I'm sure somebody's going to put this up for us. That isn't Genesis 49, verse 10. That's Genesis 2 or 3 or 4, verse 10. Never mind. Okay, Genesis 49 and verse 10 says this. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. That's pretty well gobbledygook, okay. I understand that. This is Jacob dying, or Israel as he became to begin. He gathered all his sons together and he said, I'm going to prophesy over each one of you. And to his son Judah, he prophesied these words. The scepter will not depart from Judah. The ruler's staff, the scepter is the ruler's staff. Do you remember when Queen Elizabeth died? They took the scepter and they laid it down. And they waited until Charles picked up the scepter and became king, became the ruling king. The scepter will not depart from between your feet, Judah, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. Wow. If my dad said that to me, I'd think he was weird. He's either very, very, very spiritual, or there's something wrong, going wrong. And, do you know, Judah wasn't the oldest. He wasn't the strongest. He wasn't the one that was most loved. He wasn't the most famous. But it was to Judah that Jacob said these words. One day somebody's going to come from your line, Judah, from one of your descendants, and he's going to pick up this scepter and he's going to rule. He's going to rule. And all the nations will come to the point of obeying him. Wow. Let's look at Isaiah 7, verse 14. So somebody's going to come. That means presumably a baby's going to come. And here we are. And therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and give birth to a son. And will call him Emmanuel. Wow. So he's something that's saying, hey, something's going to happen. It's going to be a baby. And not only, this is going to be a bit peculiar, this baby. A bit special. This is an amazing thing, actually, when Isaiah said this. He said this about 730 years before it happened. 730 years. Now, you don't know this yet, but less than 2 weeks ago, I had a new grandson. Thank you very much. If I'd have been preaching last week, it'd have been less than a week. But never mind. But this is the weird thing. Just imagine if somebody in the Middle Ages, at the time of the Crusades, stood up and said, I have a word. There's going to be a son born at some point in the future, and you are to call him Elijah Isaac Langford. Oh, by the way, he's going to be born in Leeds. Right, okay. Just imagine if somebody had said that 730 years ago. And last week it got true, became true. Ooh, that's a bit special. That's a bit special. But this child is going to be called Emmanuel, as we've heard, God with us. Let's go on a couple of verses to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom. Oh, that's a good start. It's a good start. No more gloom. Who wants no more gloom? For those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles. Those two tribes are in what is now Galilee, by the way of the sea. Those walking in darkness, the people walking in darkness, have seen a great light. You need to understand what this is about. And here's another amazing thing. Amazing thing. Do you know that those words were spoken 2,750 years ago? and we can limit it to a single decade. Wow. A single decade, 2,750 years ago. You can't even remember what happened in the 80s. That's right. That's right. Some of us here, we can't remember what happened yesterday. That's true. Yes. Can you imagine that when Isaiah said those words, the people in Zebulun and Naphtali had some catastrophe happen? And we know that that catastrophe happened in 733 BC. Not from the Bible. We know it because of secular history and the historical records. And in 733 BC, the Assyrians came from Nineveh and killed hundreds and hundreds of people in those two tribes and took off hundreds of others back to Assyria. And they all lived in absolute fear. And in that time, just after that, Isaiah said, the people in this darkness and in this gloom and in this fear, one day a light is going to be turned on. One day you've been dishonored now, but you will be honored in the future. One day you'll be rescued. And we know that it was going to be a little while because, I know I'm giving you these things, in only 722 BC, just 11 years later, the Assyrians came again and wiped the whole lot of them out. And the land of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, ceased to exist. So he spoke just in those 10-year period. And there's a prophecy which just says, but one day. Just forget Christmas a minute. What happens when you turn on a light? You can see. Oh, do you remember this we talked about? Some people just can't see. Some people just can't hear. But the day is coming when God will turn on a light. And when God turns on the light, it all becomes clear. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 6. So we've been told that one day, Judah, one of your descendants is going to pick up a scepter and will rule. And Isaiah said, and one day this baby is going to come and his name will be called Emmanuel. And he's going to come and be born to a virgin. And then only two chapters later, not very long, go back, thanks. For unto us a child is born. Oh, the child's born now. Unto us a son is given. The government, oh, do you hear that, Judah? The government, the rule, will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He'll be full of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. He will be called, go back, please, thanks. He will be called Mighty God. He'll be full of power and might. He'll be called the Everlasting Father. This kingdom will last forever. He will be called the Prince of Peace. Not a peace that comes from out there. We know that there's no peace in the world, or very little. No, it's a peace that comes from in here. It's a peace that you can't get from out there. It's a peace that comes that even if it's all going mental out there, you're still okay in here. The Prince of Peace. The Everlasting Father. Judah and David's descendants. Okay, thanks. Let's go. Of the increase of this government and of peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. I want to tell you this morning, it's all true. I want to tell you that 2,000 years ago when Jesus came as a baby, it all was true. And I'm a lawyer, so I'm going to prove it to you. Did you know I could prove it to you? When Jesus walked on earth, the Pharisees said, "This man has turned the world upside down." And whether we like it or not, and whether we believe it or not, this world has never been the same since Jesus was born. It's never been the same. Do you want to prove it? You're here. 2,000 years later, you're sitting here. There are thousands of churches throughout the UK. There are hundreds of thousands of churches throughout the world. There are millions upon millions upon millions of people worshipping him today. 2,000 years later, don't tell me it isn't true. He came. He started a kingdom that has gone on for 2,000 years, which will never end. Of the increase of his rule, there will be no end. It will go on and on and on until every knee bows, until all the nations bring honor and glory to him. Wow. Wow. And so after 700 years, Jesus gets born. A little baby. And because he's part of the Jewish people, on the eighth day his parents take him to the temple to be circumcised. And there is a man in Jerusalem, listen to this, there is a man in Jerusalem whose ears are open and whose eyes are open. 700 years. And there's a man who can hear and see. And he's making himself a cup of hot chocolate with camel milk. And the Holy Spirit says to him, "Simeon, get down to the temple. Wow, the man is an old man. He has been waiting years and years. He has been listening for years and years. He has been looking for years and years. And many times he said, 'Lord, have I got this right? Have I heard you right?' And the Lord said, 'Simeon, I want to tell you something. You won't die until you see it.' And on this day, the Holy Spirit says to him, 'Get down to the temple.'" Ooh. So he rushes as fast as an old man can go down to the temple. And he walks in there and he looks and he sees Mary and Joseph with this baby. And what does he say? My eyes have seen. Wow. My eyes have seen. Let's put it up. Just roll it up a little bit. I know I've got several verses up there. Carry on. Okay, and again. And again. And again. Thanks. Sovereign Lord, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of everyone. Sorry. Carry on. Thanks. And again. A light, listen, a light in the darkness. A light of revelation and the glory of your people Israel. Can you see this theme coming all the way through? What on earth has Jesus got to do with Christmas? Without Jesus, there simply isn't any Christmas. So, right this Christmas, today and tomorrow, we're celebrating the fact that he came. And it's true. The festivities, the cards, the presents, well, they'll all be taken down soon. And we'll all come back again in 12 months' time and do it all again. It's a bit pointless, really, but Jesus is the one that remains forever. Jesus is the one that doesn't go away. He's the light in the darkness. He's the hope in the hopelessness. He's the love in the emptiness. And it all came true at Christmas. I want us all to be those who, now and in this coming year, we hear and see more and more. And maybe there are some here who've never, ever heard and seen it before. For you, I'm just longing that you would hear and see for the first time. Let's just pray, shall we? Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, I'm just wanting to thank you that you are the one that takes the scales off people's eyes. You're the one that stops the ears. You're the one, Lord, who suddenly turns the light on in the darkness. And we suddenly say, oh, wow, I can see it. I can see it. So I just want to give an opportunity for anyone who feels that they've heard and seen for the first time, just to respond to that. If you feel that you've heard and seen this for the very first time, just while people have got their eyes closed, would you just raise your hand and let me see so I can pray for you? Is there anybody who has heard and seen for the very first time? Okay. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is working among us. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, like Simeon, is prompting us and saying, hey, look at this, hear this. Do you want to be a part of what I'm doing? Do you want to be a part of what I'm saying? Come and walk with me. And I pray, Father, that this Christmas we would see and hear more and more clearly. That you'd open our ears, you'd open our eyes, and that we would see Jesus this Christmas. Amen.